Record.
Gotta mute
Mute.
everybody.
Lord, what would I ever do without my little helpers? Thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful helpers. Amen. All right. We just praise you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in us. We thank you, Lord, that truth is coming to us. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you that tonight it's going to be a special night. Lord, I ask for a complete infilling of your Holy Spirit for all of us. Lord, I thank you for your granting each and every one of us repentance if there's things that we've done today that has been against you, Lord, and has hindered our walk. And I praise you for helping us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit to walk that walk that you want us to walk. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. And I praise you, and I thank you, Lord, that people in your kingdom are getting to understand what the aliens are, that they're just a bunch of demons out there. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that they're going to take authority over them and defeat them in Jesus' name. They're not going to be enamored by them. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, tonight's going to be special because everybody's going to come in and they're going to be expecting. And when we come expecting in one accord, Lord, you always come through for us. And we praise you for that. And thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in our lives. And I praise you for good, strong Hawaiian weather here from this day forward in Jesus' name. And it'll never get below 70, and it'll never get above 85 or 90. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And we get rain at least once a week. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to end up here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, has anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? Yeah, Julie.
Let's add on to that prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the authority you've given us over these demonic spirits, powers, and principalities over this alien deception and that kind of thing. And
Amen.
we thank you for keeping our loved ones, our family members from falling for this deception when it does manifest, and however that comes about in their lives, and that you would give them a discernment, Lord, about these things that they would hold fast to. Wait a minute, God, did God create aliens? Is there really another life, another planet kind of thing where there's life? All these lies. So I thank you, Lord, for protecting their minds and that they not get caught up in that kind of stuff, Lord, and that they would just be able to see things the way you revealed it to them by your grace, Father, just like you do us. We thank you in Jesus' name. And I also thank you, Lord, for delivering your people from all these destructive demon doctrines that are keeping them in bondage, in complacency, in darkness, and a lot of it just not running after you and thinking they're not gonna be here when all these things are happening and they see the troubles that are happening in the world right now, and that they just keep holding on to this hope that they're going to get raptured out of here, and it's they're I'm gonna not going to be prepared for the things to come spiritually, Lord. So we ask for your blessing and protection on them, that you would bless us and honor our faith, Lord, and protect them. We cover them in the blood of Jesus and pray Psalm 91 over them, and that you hear those prayers for them, God, and that they'll be okay, and that they will come out of these places of darkness. You will reveal to them by the power of the Holy Ghost, and convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment, Lord, because that's what he does, and that they would be repented. We thank you, Lord, for doing a quick work in that, Father, in Jesus' name, we bind up these lying spirits of religion and pre-trib rapture and eternal salvation. No matter what you do, you can live however you want. All these lies, we cast it down. We break their power off of our family members in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for bringing light into their darkness and that you do it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Missy.
Father, like to add on to that. Oh, Father, I ask you to put in the heart of your elect a love for the truth, Lord, to pick up the word and read their Bibles, Lord, that they would understand that they're not going to make it in the times to come. The only way to know you, Lord, is through your word, because you are the word made flesh, and that's what you want to make each and every one of them. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that revelation, Lord, to your elect, Lord, especially when this revival comes through your man child. But even before that, Lord, you can put it in their hearts, Lord, put it in their minds, Lord. Shake them up, Lord, and give them a love for the truth and righteousness and holiness, Lord. Bring something their way, Lord, that gets their attention, Lord, and realize, Lord, that they need to know you, Lord, that they can't live this life, the life of a believer, without being in your word, getting to know you, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Hi, Joe. Andrew.
Bless you
Bless you, brother. All right, anyone else got a prayer? Lord, I thank you. I don't know if y'all saw it, but there was another attempt on Trump's life today. Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon him. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that your Secret Service agents are getting more adept at looking at things and keeping things under surveillance. And we praise you for that, Father, that they stop it before it ever got started. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Secret Service on top of the White House noticed this guy walking up, and they could see the outline of a gun in his pants, and they stopped him before he ever got there. So thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Lord, we thank you for protecting all of the administration too, notably Pete Hegseth and the rest of them, in Jesus' name, and J.D. Vance. Well, Barbara's connecting to the audio. Praise God. There she is. All right, she made it. Hey, Ben. I'm going to change that.
My dad is helping my sister babysit Finn right now. She's working
Oh,
overnight.
okay.
Just kinda, he's tapped in, I guess. He's busy. He kind of drains him. So I don't know if
Okay.
he's gonna be coming on tonight or anything like that. So I'm holding the fort.
Okay, well, you do a good job. You always do. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Lord, for I want to pray for Andrew. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Andrew. blessing him with your presence, blessing him with wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for discernment and the words, Lord, to say if necessary. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the love for his family that he has. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Uh-oh. Here comes the crew. Amen. There he is. All right. General Obadiah. What's up, dude? Ain't got his coat on today.
Not much.
Amen. What is that? Alien coming in?
B-2 bomber.
Oh, that's a B-2. I was fixing to say that looks like a B-2 bomber. That looks like a, I don't know what, that's a cruiser.
A warship of some kind.
It may be a cruiser, but it also may be an intelligence ship. Looks more like that. I don't see any guns on it. Cruiser has a bunch of guns. Hi, Anna. Where's the other 15? Or, oh, good. She said, "Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh yeah. That's a nice one. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? Lord, I just pray for R.W. Schambach. Lord, he has blessed me so many times in the past. Angelica had a little short run of him on on the thing to bring it back to my memory. You know, he used to be the song leader for A.A. Allen back many when he first started out. And but boy, when he got to preaching, that guy would he was on fire. He was on fire. I always thought he was from the South, but he's from New York. Yeah. 'Cause he talks like he's from Alabama. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to pray or talk about? Well, then we have a song lined up, I'm sure. Right, go ahead. Let's play it.
We come with expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart.
Yeah, I like him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? All right, we got it. We're in real good news. We're going to do real good news because there's some real good news in the real good news. I'm just trying to tell you now, there's some real good news in there.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Anna.
I'm sorry. Can we say something here real quick before you get started on that?
Yes, ma'am.
Obi wants to share a testimony.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. So I really wanted a toy ship because we don't really have any toy boat other than Lego ones or whatever. And we were at a thrift store a few days later, and I found a ship and they gave it to me for free.
Whoa. All right. Can I play with it? Okay.
Also, is it all right if Obi and I share a song? Obi was really hoping to.
Sure, yes, I'd love that.
Okay. Give me just a second here so I can get the lyrics up for you guys. If anyone wants to share something, it'll just take me a second.
One thousand one, 1,002, 1,000.
Does your ship float, Obi?
Hasn't tried yet.
Well, sure
sorry,
it does.
Guys.
That's
I will
right.
Figure this out. Okay.
Let's put it in the bathtub, play with it, see if it floats.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Do you want to sing the song with us, Lisha?
I just need to sit
there. No, go sit and dice. You're going to sing? Okay. Sorry, guys. Just a second here. Okay. Ready? Okay. They labeled her worthy of death, but Jesus said you were not condemned. Go that way, don't sin again. I'm not done with you yet. In Gethsemane, he turned and fled, denied his name in the face of death. But go tell him I live again, and I'm not done with you yet. So leave the past, cause your debt has been paid. Look in the glass and by facing his face, drop those labels and lift your head. God's not done with you yet. Labels you had, you can forget. They've been cast into the depth. You are redeemed, chosen, elect. God's not done with you yet. 'Cause who and what you were is dead. Believe in all that Jesus said. You're forgiven and you're born again. God's not done with you yet. So leave the past, 'cause your debt has been paid. Look in the glass and by facing face. Drop those labels and lift your head. God's not done with you yet. The old things are passed away. Behold, he makes all things new. Jesus left the past in the grave, and that is what he wants from you. So leave the past, 'cause your debt has been paid. Look in the glass and by faith see his face. Drop those labels and lift your head. God's not done with you yet.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That was good. Got a new duo going here, folks. May be on American Idol before it's over with. Well, Christian Idol, how's that? Okay. Oh, that's good, y'all. That was great. Ooh, good gracious. What is that stink? Oh, that was Elisha's foot. Oh, my goodness. All right. Anyone else? Okay, I think we're in chapter 7, starting with chapter 7 in Real Good News. I had to get me another book. Mine was falling apart. Golly. I thought about just taking my punch up there and just punching holes in it and putting it in the notebook. I see you, buddy. Yeah, you're just as ugly as you was yesterday. No, you're a good-looking boy. Where you got your walkie-talkie?
A toy, radio, I guess.
A police radio. Oh no. Don't call them on me.
He's calling for help, Michael.
The police are coming. The
Oh
police are
no, let me
coming.
let
The
oh
police are coming.
no, don't let the police come.
We called the cops on you, Michael. Now what are you gonna do?
I'm gonna have to hide.
They're coming in
Oh,
a big ship.
well, they won't find me. All right, chapter 7, endurance. This is a good chapter here. This one is. I like this one. I like them all. We've been studying the Real Good News. And it's very encouraging to know what the Lord has done for us as we learn to enter into discipleship and walk as He walked. Praise be to God. We discovered that Deuteronomy 28 lists both the blessings and cursings that will come upon us based on our obedience to the word. Way I'm going to do this tonight is at the end of a long paragraph, I'm going to stop and somebody else will take up. Like we'll go Julie and then to Ben and then to Missy and then to Vanita and Anna and Joe and Barbara and if you don't want to, just don't do it, I guess. But I'd sure like to hear everybody. All right, Deuteronomy 28:1, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Ooh. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if, here's the if, thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And of course, the opposite is true. On verse 15, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. The key here is if thou shalt hearken diligently to do all his commandments. Hearken means to hear and obey. When we first come to the Lord, we have a problem with hearing the right voices. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." This is how God knows his sheep. Many times, we have a problem of hearing the voice of men or the voice of the devil. But the Bible makes us familiar with our master's voice because he is the Word. And as we become familiar with the Word, we become familiar with his voice. As he said in John 10:3, "And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out because they know his voice." And I pray that would be your heart and your desire. I wanted to make a little comment here. Well, I had something in my mind I wanted to share, but we'll wait a little bit later. You'll come back. Go ahead, Julie.
The Bible has a very important point in regarding to hearing the voice of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God, to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So this is what our warfare is. It's bringing every thought into captivity and obedience to Christ. We do that by casting. We do that by casting down every imagination and every other voice that comes into our mind, trying to impersonate the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that by casting down our own reasonings that lead us astray, even though our reasoning rails against us, and even though well-meaning Christians are used of the devil against us to put thoughts that are very reasonable to our flesh into our mind. We have to learn too, in Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not upon thine own understanding." We have to learn to cast down everything that is contrary to his word. And if we're doing that, then we're casting down those strongholds of the devil in our mind that keep us captive. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them." Not everybody believes the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't hearken to the voice of the shepherd and don't come out from under the curse and into the blessings of God. We have this warfare to fight of casting down all the imaginations that seem so reasonable and coming to the Lord to learn to be a disciple of his and humbly submit to him.
I've heard people say many times, "Well, I believed God, but I didn't get my healing. I know I had faith, yet God did not answer." We hear that all the time, and yet we know for a fact that our Lord made some very positive statements to the contrary. So, we know what men say is false. Mark 11:24. "Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye've received them, and ye shall have them." This is very clear, that what ye believe, ye receive. Matthew 21:22. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now we know our Lord, and he's not a liar. And no one who is a Christian would believe that he is a liar. But people will make statements totally contrary to the word of God, like, "I believed, but I didn't receive." It's pretty obvious that a lot of people don't know what faith is. But if you were at least humble to the Lord. You would have to admit that the fault would have to be with me, because Jesus said, when you believe, you receive. And all things whatsoever you will receive. So we have to admit with the Lord Jesus that the word of God is true, and not permit ourselves to accept something in our mind that is just a lie. People who say those things don't realize the devil is using them to cast down other people's faith. They don't get into the word enough to renew their minds in order for them to speak only the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Any man speaketh, let him speak, as it were oracles of God. And I especially like Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Let God be found true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified by thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. We know that the judgment of this world is the curse, and we want to prevail every time we come under the judgment of curse, no matter what the cause.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm next, right? Okay. Whether it comes as a trial to build our faith, whether it comes as a chastening, or whatever, we want to prevail when we come under the curse. And God says there's only one way to prevail. We have to let God be found true, but every man a liar. Man in the scriptures is used negatively because, obviously, God is not birthing men. God is birthing sons of God. Praise the spiritual born-again man on the inside who is being created in the likeness of Jesus Christ. This is the man who speaks the words and believes the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the righteous man before God, the Israelite. The old Egyptian, the old man who died in the Red Sea, is the man who speaks things contrary to God. This is the man who has reasonable thoughts that are contrary to God. So he says, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your words. It is very important that we are justified in our words. Justified means being accounted righteous. And without being accounted righteous, we are not able to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. James 5:16. Confess therefore your sins one to another, and you may be that you may be healed. We have to be accounted righteous from God's side. We have to renounce the old man. We have to renounce the old life and repent of it if we want to have the benefits of the kingdom of God. In every case, when we want to prevail in the midst of judgment, you need to be justified in your words.
I'm coming. I'm unmuting. Here I come. let's see. Your words. Okay. Sorry, I gotta get my page right. Okay, Jesus said, Matthew 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Wow, I wish everybody would think about that for a minute. It lets you know just how important what we say is. If we claim to be Christians, but we let that old man speak, he can bring us into an awful lot of judgment and wrath because we are not justified. We have to be careful that we are agreeing with God's word and trusting in what he says so that we can be justified in our words. Romans 5:1. Being therefore justified by faith. So we see here that it's not just words, it's words that agree with God. It is words of faith because Romans 1:17, the righteous shall live by faith. When our words agree with God's words and we confess our faith in every situation, then we're coming into a renewed mind the mind of Jesus Christ, and we are being transformed by that new renewed mind. We are coming into his image, and we're prevailing when we come into judgment. Romans 5:1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand. Now that's very clear. Our words of faith and actions of faith give us access to the grace and favor of God. We stand in the favor, benefits, and blessings, all because our faith gives us access.
My next. So how does God judge your faith? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I said, unless Joe wants to go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, that's all right. I didn't know it. Joe, do you want to read?
Yes, I'll do that. So how does God judge your faith? In the scriptures, we are told many times that it is God, Romans chapter 2, verse 6, who will render to every man according to his work. Your works are proof of your faith, because James chapter 2, verse 17 says, faith, if you have not works, is dead in itself, and one of your major works is the tongue. Jesus himself said to Matthew chapter 12, 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we see that words of faith give us access to the unmerited favor of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, to whom also you have had access by faith, in this grace where we stand. And let us, in our original it reads, let us rejoice, not we rejoice, rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only so, but let us also rejoice in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation working steadfastness. The word here for steadfastness is also translated as patience. Many times we don't want to wait and trust in God. We don't want to endure the struggle or the pain in order to see the manifestation. That is an instant gratification society. We want to believe and then see something happen immediately. But if we stand in faith, we have access to His grace. His grace enables us to stand and we eventually receive the things we are believing for. Romans chapter 5 verse 3 says, and not only so, but let us also rejoice in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation works in patience and patience approvedness. Approvedness, the word approvedness is a word for character. What character is that? It's a character of our Lord Jesus. We are called to come into His image. Romans 8 verse 29 says, for whom He foreknew, He also foreordained to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you want His character, we have to walk patiently in our faith.
Okay. All right, now, Barbara.
I'm not sure. Does it start with Romans 5:4?
No, don't give up.
What?
It's the paragraph before that. Right at the top up there, underneath the dark deal, it says, don't give up.
I don't see that.
Are you in the book or are you looking on your cell phone?
I'm in the book.
Okay, look on page 89.
Okay.
Three sentences down.
Oh, okay. I totally missed that.
Well,
don't give
tell.
Up. My God. Don't give up. Most people do, and it's sad. This is the major problem among Christians. We don't keep the word of God before their eyes. They don't keep the word of God before their eyes and the word of God in their thoughts. They do not pray to God for mercy to write this word upon their hearts. They are just useless in their faith. We're called to be warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ and warriors for our brethren around us who need the benefits of God's kingdom. In order to do that, we have to be like Jesus and his disciples. And his disciples were, and that is a warrior through faith. We have to be someone who walks justified before God because they speak faith in agreement with the word of God.
Okay, so how do we keep from getting distracted? And then that's the way I'm putting it. It's to stay in the word of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know that when you veer from the word of God, you get distracted? I do. I know that.
Is that true?
Yeah. Okay, Barbara, you want to go ahead with the next one?
Okay. Romans 5:4. Impatience, approveness, hope. And hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. How do we know we have the love of God in our hearts? According to this, those who are patient in their faith have hope, and that hope does not put them to shame. Some people think that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts means the love that God has for people. But I think it's talking primarily about the love of God that we have for God. That's because those people who are only living to be seen of men and are not interested in walking by faith, they don't see the reason or benefit of it, since they can get their needs met by other means. But what pleases God is Romans 1:17, the righteous shall live from faith. A person who wants to please God walks by faith, because we know Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. So the people who want to please God are the people who love God. These are the people who are struggling to be patient in their faith. Amen. They are justified because it is important to them to endure the trial of their faith, not to show off to anyone else. We have a proof about the meaning of the love of God in verse 5, because it's also found here. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. See, we're back in Deuteronomy 28, where the one who is blessed is the one who hearkens unto the voice of the Lord, the one who hears and acts upon the voice of the Lord. The people of faith hear the voice. I'm sorry. The people of faith hear the voice and they act upon it. They speak in agreement with it and their feet prove it. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he had been approved, there's that approvedness again. We endure temptation in order to be approved of the Lord. He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. Notice that the people who endure temptation are the people who love him and want to be well-pleasing to him. They want to be called righteous because they walk by faith. And faith is submitting humbly to the word of God, agreeing with the word of God, speaking the word of God. They are learning to walk as sons of God in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Megan, did you want to read?
I'm sorry. I had to, and I'm driving.
I'm not going to ask what that was.
I'm driving.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll read then. All right. Thank you. James 1 and 2. Kind of. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations or trials, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. And let patience, which is so well pleasing to God, have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. The person who patiently endures the trial of their faith lacks nothing. And most people will not endure to the end. They endure to somewhere down the trial, and then they decide that God's not quite right about this, that he really hasn't answered their prayers. And they decide that they can't believe that they have received, because their eyes tell them the truth and that God's word has not told them the truth. They're proving themselves to be unbelievers. They have an evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews 3:12, which we all war against. And the person who is patient in their faith will be perfect in their entirety, lacking nothing. So you see how important it is to endure the trial of our faith. I'm going to go on for another one. James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubts is like the surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now you can feel the Lord's feelings about people who are double-minded, who can't ask without doubting. Now, we all have thoughts that come through our mind that are of doubt, although those are not necessarily our thoughts. But if we give into them and act upon them, then we have doubted. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Everyone starts out asking God and believing, but they don't all endure in their patience to receive the promise. The people who have learned patience are people who have lived miracles. They see answers from God, and they awe everybody with their faith. It's not necessarily that their faith is any stronger, but it's that they don't give in to doubts or unbelief. They cast these imaginations down when they come into their mind, and they're well-pleasing to God and accounted righteous because they're patient in their faith, and they will receive the reward. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence into the fullness of hope. The word hope here means firm expectation, even to the end, that ye be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So obviously, if God speaks so much about this, it must be what is dear to his heart, because it's his joy to see his people receive the benefits of the kingdom. Sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes we believe, Lord, I've been doing this for months now, or whatever it is that you're doing. I've been believing for you for months now, maybe even years. And Lord, it's not happening yet. What am I doing wrong, you know? Well, you just told what you're doing wrong. You're not enduring in your faith, you know. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But I have desired to do what the Word of God says. And we just hang in there, don't we? Hey, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you. Get up in the morning. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord, for the provisions that are coming. All right, Julie.
Amen. Amen. David says, I've had many trials in my faith that I can share with others, and I know that the Lord brought me through these things so that I myself would learn patience and faith. Some of these were enduring trials that took a long while.
that took a while, and a lot of wrestling to receive answers. They were a warfare of casting down reasonings, imaginations, dreams, and revelations. One trial was an experience many years ago with cancer. Now, I didn't go to a doctor, so I can't prove exactly what this problem was from men's, what this problem was from men's words. But there came a time when I was receiving a lot of pain and I was passing a lot of blood. When I went to the Lord about it, the word cancer came to my mind. Well, I cast that down. Though the Lord might be telling me that this is what I'm wrestling with, the Lord also told me, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so I cast those thoughts thoughts down. I didn't accept those thoughts, even when that might be the manifest problem that I was wrestling with, and I'm sure it was. That's because shortly after this started, I traveled across town to a Christian bookstore that I didn't usually visit since it was a lot further away than the closest one. I knew some sisters there who were faithful servants of the Lord, and sometimes I went there just to give them the business and say hello. Of course, I hadn't told anybody what the Lord had revealed to me, not even my wife.
That day, as I came in the door, these two sisters had their eyes on me, and I knew they had something to say. Since they immediately walked over to me, they told me that they'd been in prayer for various ministers they knew, that they were praying for me, because the Lord had spoken to them very plainly that I was having a battle against the spirit of cancer, but that I would win. I told them this was a confirmation of what the Lord spoke to me, and spent a few minutes sharing a good word of faith with them. Then I thanked them very much and left. But on my way home, I did something that I wouldn't have done if I'd thought about it. I said to the Lord, "Lord, when I get home, I'm going to ask you to give me a word out of the Bible, as you would have done so many times for me concerning this situation." But I'd already been living by faith for many years, and I already knew what the Bible had to say about this situation. It was like Balaam in Numbers 22:19, asking the Lord a second time for his opinion, because he wanted to hear something else from the Lord. But Balaam already had a word. He just wasn't sticking to it. Sorry. Anyway, when I get home, I flipped my Bible open by random, and I put my finger down on Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." My finger came down exactly in the middle of the phrase, "Thou shalt die and not live." So when I read that thought, whoa, look at that. Only one other place in all the Bible that has this phrase, and that's in 2 Kings chapter 20, where the same story is told. I can read the next one, it's short.
Go ahead.
I tell you the honest truth, from the moment that I received this revelation of what the problem was, I never feared one time, because it's not that important to me to stay on this earth. I'll be so happy when my job is done here and I can go and be with the Lord. I don't fear death. I think of it the way Jesus spoke of it. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but hath passed out of death into life. Fear never really tried to attack me concerning this, but I knew it was true, and I knew that I was having to wrestle with the spirit of cancer. From shortly after I became a Christian, I've been exercising my faith in the Lord as my healer, and he had always done it faithfully. I learned that I had to fight a battle to take my benefit from the devil, because Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and men of violence take it by force. It's a battle to take our benefits away from the devil, because he tries to resist us with words, with his words, his minions, and the people around us, sometimes even Christians. And the devil uses our flesh too. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Let God be found true, but every man a liar. So the old man in you can be a liar when he speaks to you.
Okay. Well, when I saw the Isaiah text, I thought on it for a few minutes, and then I said to the Lord, Lord, this is not according to your covenant that you made with me, and I believe that you don't want me to accept this. And I didn't accept it because the word of God says that by whose stripes you were healed. And it was obvious that Jesus healed everyone who came to him by faith. I'm convinced that many people have left before their time because they're not totally confirmed in their thinking that the Lord Jesus is a consistent Savior, including Savior of our body. He desires to heal every one of us. We don't have to die of diseases. That's the curse. And Galatians 13 says Jesus bore the curse. You can just leave this life, and people do just leave this life and do not die of curses. Before I continue, I want to point out that the Lord gave Hezekiah 15 more years because that's a part of this story I'm sharing here. Isaiah 38:2. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto your days 15 years. I'll read the next one. You shall die and not live. I said, Lord, I don't accept that. So I am asking you to give me something that is according to your covenant. Understand, if even the Lord God speaks to you anything contrary to the covenant, you are not to accept it. You say, what? David, what are you talking about? Psalm 11:5, the Lord tries the righteous. God tried Father Abraham, did he not? And we're spiritual sons of Abraham only if we walk by faith. Galatians 3:7. He tried Abraham and tries us in the same way. God is going to see if we will depart from his word or if we will be steadfast and patient and endure whatever comes our way, even if we think it is a word from the Lord. It's awesome how many very specific answers I've gotten from the Lord in this way. So I was confident I was getting an answer from the Lord when he gave me, Thou shalt die and not live. And after I'd thought on it for just a minute, my training supported me in helping me to realize that I was not to give into this. This was a trial. The Lord was trying me, and I was to hold steadfast to the word of God. We know what the Bible says about healing, and you should be totally convinced by now that God wants you healed. It's just as consistent as salvation of the soul. So I told the Lord, I don't accept that word, and I don't think it pleases you for me to accept that. So I am asking you to give me another word. Then I flipped my Bible open and put my finger down right in the middle of the phrase, Psalm 118:17, I shall not die but live, the exact opposite of the first word I received. That text is in only one place in the Bible too. I said, Lord, I accept that one. I accept it because it is what you have taught me the word of the Lord is. And I know that I was accounted righteous for being steadfast in my faith and holding on to what the word of God says. I also know that I could have died if I wanted to. I could have gone to be with the Lord because I failed the trial.
Amen. Can I just share a testimony real quick, Michael? We went to see Frank's doctor, was it day before yesterday, and it came down to, I mean, he's had, what is it, 8 back surgeries now, and everything's fused, and he's still in a lot of pain, and a lot of pain, and some new pains, in fact, on top of pain. And so he was kind of, you know, he's kind of discouraged. And so we went to talk to him, and he's like, you know, no more surgeries. We're not going to do any more surgeries. There's nothing I can do. And so we left, and we were driving, and I was like, Frank, it's just like Abraham, you know. God told him that he's going to have a son, and he told him, I mean, he's talked right to God, and God told him he was going to have a son, and he still went through all the stuff that he went through, the doubt and unbelief, and couldn't believe that it's going to happen, all that. And I'm like, that's where we're at, you know. God told us in the word that you're healed already. It's already done. And here we just had to go through all this just to agree with them at the end. You know, we just have to agree with them at the end. And it was just like, just reading this just brings it all back. It's like, it's just all that doubt and unbelief. And he just says it right there to us, just like he's saying it to our face. So it was just, it's so exciting to be able to talk to Frank about that. And just, we got to stand on the word of God, just like David so clearly lays out for us here. It's just so clear, but it's hard when you're in a lot of pain, you know. It's really, even just with my tooth, I just went through that. It's like, it hurts so badly. I'm like, in the middle of the night, I'm looking up emergency places to go. I'm like, no, I can do this. I can do this. And, you know, then it was gone the next day. And I mean, it's totally gone. It's just no pain at all. And it's just, but your flesh just like, doesn't feel like it can endure it. But, but we're getting through.
There's one thing that the devil always does. He wants to get you to thinking that you have doubt and unbelief.
Yes.
that's his main tool that he has. And it's not, that is the temptation. It's when you grab a hold of that doubt and unbelief and believe it, that it is a sin. So we just forget the devil and go on.
Right,
enduring
right.
Our faith, praise God. So we just believe with him that he's healed in Jesus' name. We praise Amen. You and thank you, Lord, that pain is gone. We command that back to line up with the word of God, and every bone structure, every muscle, every whatever is in his back, line up right now with the word of God and be healed. And we command all pain and discomfort to leave his back right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, it's done. Because we just prayed the prayer of faith and we believe. We're believers here, and we praise you and we thank you for it, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for this word we're reading, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Everybody All believe right. with us, don't they? Everybody believe with us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
All right.
All right. We're on page 93. Many people do fail and go to be with the Lord, or miss the Lord one way or the other, because they fail in these trials. Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Jesus did not overrule their unbelief. He said, Matthew 8:13, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you.
He did not exercise his faith over their faith. He exercised his faith when they agree with his faith, and he's still doing that with us. We need to walk in agreement with the Lord. The Lord has spoken to me enough over the years of the things that I still want to happen on this earth. I still want to see people saved and healed. I still want to see the man-child's ministry through the latter rain. I don't want to miss the great thing that God is getting ready to do on this earth, and I think there will be plenty of time to rest with the Lord afterward. I'll keep reading. Well, as I continued to endure the trial of my faith, I had one person pray for me. I had to take a trip to Louisiana to visit family and stopped in to visit an old friend. While I was there, I just had him pray over me for this healing. I didn't receive a manifest answer at that time. I didn't feel anything different either, but you're not supposed to walk by feelings. God is trying to cause us to walk by faith in what the word says and be stable instead of going up and down with the circumstances that we see. The feelings and emotions that we have are stirred up because of the thoughts that we think. If you don't humble yourself to the word, you'll become a victim to your own emotions. They will conquer you, and that's why you must cast them down. Thoughts can stir up emotions, and emotions can get stirred up to where you just can't put that fire out. And so I endured that for a while longer, until the symptoms eventually went away and I accepted the full manifestation of my healing.
Amen. Notice he didn't tell you how long it took. It took a while. He had to endure his trial of faith in that. Go ahead, Joe.
Then 15 years later, although I did not realize it had been 15 years, I started to receive another symptom. This time my heart was giving me pain, and I knew I was having a cardiovascular problem because my whole right side was getting cold. Didn't have to be too cold outside, it would be a cold on my right side. My circulation was having problems. I lead a pretty sedentary life. I do a lot of studying and I sit at the computer. So I didn't get a lot of exercise. You know, the devil starts reasoning with you, telling you that you caused you this because of the way you live your life. He wants to tell you that you need to exercise or do this and do that, to do all the things to do in the natural in order to get rid of your problems. It wasn't totally without exercise because I would get up and run or walk around a few blocks every once in a while, and I really did not change anything when these symptoms reappeared. But I knew that the devil was definitely threatening the end of my life through his circulatory problem. I lost a very good friend in the same way. His arteries are clogged up and he died. But when this started happening, I called the devil's bluff. I just told the devil, I don't accept it. This is not the word of God.
Amen.
How I found out, but it was 15 years later, that several people in our assembly had dreamed I had died of a heart attack. And some of these people were gifted by the Lord with very consistent, accurate dreams. When my wife was sharing a couple of them, dreams with me, she said, it's been 15 years since we had that problem with the cancer. I didn't register with her, but immediately registered with me. I said, 15 years? God gave Hezekiah 15 years, and that's the verse he gave me. I went to the Lord immediately and asked, Lord, you are saying that the rest of that was true for me too, that you were only giving me 15 more years, like Hezekiah? And the Lord said to my spirit, yes, that's true. So I fought on that, and I fought on these dreams, and I said, I didn't accept that. Something contrary to your covenant last time? And I don't believe I'm supposed to accept it contrary to your covenant now. But I don't accept this either. I accept by what stripes you were healed. I accept only what the Word of God says. By the grace of God, I'm not taking any credit for it. I was able to hold diligent to the Word of God, not in me, even by what happened to what appeared to be the words with God that I was going to die. Obviously, the first word that I had received out of Isaiah 58 was true, and the word given to Hezekiah was very prophetic. And now God was using the rest of that on me. Again, I was saying, the Lord tried the righteous, like he tried Abraham. He was trying me. So I cast down all these things, even these dreams, thoughts, and revelations. I cast them all down. I accept nothing but the word of God says. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's the way we got to be, isn't it? Whew, glory to God. All right, Barbara.
I didn't receive the answer immediately. As a matter of fact, the devil was speaking to me that I was going to drop any minute with a heart attack because my arteries were all clogged up. And of course, the symptoms were telling me that was true. I would still get out and walk. And it came to me one day while I was running or while I was walking that, devil, I am not accepting this. I'm a healthy man and healthy men can run. So I ran and I would run and run just to call the devil's bluff. The devil would tell me, you're going to fall on the side of the road and you're not going to make it home. Sometimes I would feel that was true and I didn't have the stamina that I had when I was younger. But I ran anyways because James 2:17, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. If we believe the promise, we will act on it. We are justified by faith. Romans 3:20. James proclaimed that actions prove faith, saying, James 2:18, I by my works will show thee my faith. We are justified or accounted righteous by words of faith and or corresponding actions of faith. Understand that I am not talking about legalism here. Legalism is very dangerous. We are not accounted righteous by the works of the law. When we get our works ahead of our faith, it's like putting the cart ahead of the horse, and that's legalism. Some people hear words of faith and they think, okay, in order for me to get healed, I have to throw away my medicine or act contrary to the physical laws of nature. But they're trying to pay for something that has already been paid for. The correct attitude is the reverse of this. Since I'm already healed, I can continue to live in the presence of God. I can continue to walk in the ways of someone who is healed. It's like the testimony I shared with you previously when I realized, if I am healed, I can pick up this log. This was true faith, and my broken arm was healed when I picked up that log. That was one of those instant manifestations. But for these two manifestations, I had to endure a trial of my faith. I had to fight the devil and come out victorious. Beware of legalism and peer pressure. Don't do anything in order to be esteemed by the men, to be esteemed by men. And don't try to put your faith on someone else. Our attitude should be like that of Jesus when he said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. He wasn't demanding that this person exercise their faith because he himself had faith. So we should not do that either. We should not demand people to act as though they had faith when we're not sure that they do. This is how people get hurt, because they would be seeking to be justified by works and not by faith. So we have to be very careful when dealing with other people in this regard.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Something else that we need to do consistently is James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now we know that Jesus said in Mark 11:24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And that's exactly right. But we also know that if our sins are against us, then we're not going to be bold toward God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Confession is a way to get rid of your unbelief, because your conscience is right with God. It's not that God wouldn't heal you. Did you notice in the scriptures that Jesus healed every single one of those Jews who came to him? They came to him, and he healed them because it was a benefit. Jesus called it the children's bread in Matthew 15:26. In cases where he wasn't sure if the people had faith, he tried to draw faith out of them, such as with the Syrophoenician woman and with the centurion. Jesus said things to make them speak words of faith because he knew that this person had to agree with him. In his own hometown, Matthew 13:58, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So we know that Jesus didn't heal because of people's unbelief. Confessing our sins is very important. It's humbling before God, and it's necessary in order to get rid of double-mindedness, which is caused by a conscience that's not right before God. We don't know how much we suffer in our faith because of our conscience. Psalms 32 and 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Here's that Deuteronomy 28 blessing again, verse 2. "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away." I don't know if they knew back then that a person's blood, which according to Leviticus 17:11, is the life of the flesh, is created in our bones. "Through my groanings all the day long," Psalms 32 and 4, "for days and night thy hand was heavy upon me." Notice it was God who sent the curse in order to motivate men to repentance, as we saw in Deuteronomy 28. "My moisture was changed as with the drought of the summer." Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Okay. Psalm 32, Father, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity did I not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. For this let everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." Or in other words, before it's too late, confessing your sin quickly will keep you out of a lot of the curse. "Surely when the great waters overflow, they shall not reach unto him." The waters which represent the curse of the world will not reach unto this person because he has confessed his sin, and so he is accounted righteous and entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Here is a person who has confessed his sin and is entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. I'm going to go on and finish this page, okay? Another favorite of mine concerning this is Psalm 66:18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." I'm surprised at how many people don't realize that self-justification is simply regarding iniquity in your heart. They're not being honest with themselves or with God about their sins, and so they're bringing themselves under a curse. They don't admit what they're doing is wrong. Their heart is not bold. They cannot have faith towards God. They cannot endure in patience to see the manifestation, and sometimes they don't even know why they don't have faith. Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his transgressions shall not prosper, but whoso confess and forsake them shall obtain mercy."
Everything that the Lord does for us, folks, is mercy. But we don't always get mercy. Sometimes we get justice. Justice will come upon those who will not be honest with God about their sins, so that they can have their conscience washed with pure water, Hebrews 10:22. Only when a person's conscience is clean can they exercise faith toward God for everything. We need to walk as faithful servants of the Lord, especially in the days to come. But we can't do that unless we're very honest with the Lord and his word. Romans 3:4 says, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar. That means, let even the flesh man be a liar, but you speak what the word says. Hear and obey his voice. Don't justify yourselves, but humbly submit to the Lord. As we continue studying the real good news, we'll see that the principles we've been looking at concerning healing also apply to every other benefit of the kingdom, because faith works in that way. We'll find out what it is to walk righteously and purely before the Lord. Many of God's people don't comprehend the absolute purity that God wants to put in us and the overcoming power that God has given us over sin. They don't realize nor understand that the Lord took away our sins. We have been totally delivered, Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Instead, many people believe that they're always going to be sinners and they're just saved by grace. But we're no longer sinners. We are saints. We are sanctified ones. The Lord gave us that gift, and we should receive it by faith. We should just humbly submit to it. This is one of the keys to healing, too, and it gives you a clear conscience. It gives you a holy life. Obviously, coming into agreement with God is the way that we can walk with God. Amos 3:3. Shall two walk together except they have agreed? God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What was it that each and every one of you got out of this? Yeah, Julie.
I'm going through stuff myself, so I can this chapter really encouraged me, and it's just confirming that, you know, it doesn't matter what it looks like, it doesn't matter what it feels like, it doesn't matter how many lies the enemy tries to put on me and try to steal my faith and you know, condemn me, get me in doubt, get me in some kind of fear, whatever, you know. It is an endurance thing, and it is patience, and you know, it is overcoming the mind of the flesh and just learning to recognize what is true, you know, like hearing the Lord's voice. That video, just as we were reading this today here just recently, you know, about hearing the hearkening and obeying the voice of the Lord, I was just thinking of that video that Missy shared about that little exercise they had in the forest, you know, being blindfolded and just listening and obeying, and you know, and just a good reminder about that kind of stuff. And it, you know, it really is, it's just, I feel like this is how, you know, this is, you know, like you said, perfected forever them by his one offering. He's perfecting our faith, he's perfecting everything that concerns us, he's growing us up, he's maturing it. We're going to be able to help so many people by the stuff we've been going through, you know, and that gives me a lot of encouragement too, that all this is not wasted, you know, that God sees everything and he knows the end from the beginning. And we have to see the end from the beginning, that, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, we are all healed. We are all delivered. We already have everything we need. We shall not lack anything. You know, all the promises we have told to him, and, you know, it's just a warfare. You know, it's a warfare. And when you're in it, you know, it feels heavy sometimes. You know, I know you all know, if you've been fighting a battle of, you know, overcoming your mind and dealing with physical stuff and stuff you're hearing from your family or whatever. And it's just, thank you, Lord. You know how to make us die, you know, help us give up our life. And it's all for your glory, and it's all for our good. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, that's one of the things, what you said about waking up the next day, you still got everything there, and you just have to just keep getting into the word and say, thank you, Lord, for I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that your word says it. I believe it. Devil, you got to go. And you just do it. You know, and I understand about people getting frustrated. I'm like Julie, I'm dealing with stuff too. But I know what the word says, and the word is true. And if the word is true, then I'm healed. Julie's healed. Everybody, Missy's healed. All of us are healed. Frank is healed. Praise God. All we have to do is endure in our faith. It's a battle. It's a battle, no doubt about it. But it's one that we've already gotten won if we just hang in there. Yeah, Ben.
I just sort of like this whole society, and like very culturally now in the West, is very much like an impatient society. I've noticed it a lot with my generation, the generation even past mine, not to point fingers, but a lot of people can be impatient, but a lot of things are very instant gratification. Like, you know, the whole YouTube thing. And all like the video games and whatnot, and everything's very instant, very instantly gratifying. And it's just, they want to get that dopamine, that instant sort of satisfaction of what they want. And so we have a very impatient generation of people that are just being raised up to be, it's okay to be impatient, and it's not right to be impatient, but patience, let patience have its perfect work, to have faith, your faith hath made thee whole, to believe that he's already done it and you're accepting it now. But that whole patience thing, and to go totally against this impatient culture that is sort of ingrained into our mind, it's very, it's a whole thing that people have a hard time getting over. And I sort of feel it because I played a lot of video games growing up, so I know exactly what it feels like to have that dopamine and to have that sort of like thing, and to just to recognize that it's God working in you, and he's working in you at the pace that he's working into you. And it's probably the reason why it's taken so long, so that you can learn to be patient. And you know, sometimes a miracle or an ask of prayer happens a lot quicker than you think. And it's just the long suffering as well, through trials and tribulations or even persecution. It's all there for a reason. It's meant to grow you. And if you have that in your mind, it's just like everything that's happening to me right now is meant to, is sowing fruit or bearing fruit or whatever. There's a reason for everything that's going on in my life, because God has ordained it to grow fruit in me or to chasten me or whatever, so I can continue to grow fruit. And that's sort of the encouragement, the hope of glory, I guess you could say. The onward thinking of, I know this is going to grow fruit in me, because of what it says in the word, and I have faith in that word, knowing that he's going to grow in me. But again, it's just this whole culture of like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Everyone's very fast-paced. It's a little annoying, but praise God.
Yeah, well, that's true. We're used to McDonald's service, aren't we? And but like you said, and you well said, man, the Lord is working stuff out of us, and during this trial that we're in, and while he's doing that, you know, when you come out of it on the other side, it's going to be so much better. Glory to God. It's going to be, you're going to have faith that will stand once you get through it. And that's great. Thank you, Ben. That was well said. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, just to add to what you were asking, what did we get out of this? I just think about just everything all around us is so contrary to what we're reading here. And I mean, like, if you just watch any TV at all, which I hate, we just don't watch it, but There's just commercials for medicine, this drug, that drug, every second of every day, there's some commercial. And it's just overwhelming. And it's like that's just what everybody's relying on. And this is it's and it's just nowhere do you find this teaching, which it's just so helpful to read through it. And then even just this ministry that we get just even on Tuesday and Thursday, and all of David's teachings, just encouraging us, Dave and Michael, what you encourage in us all the time, just pushing, it's what the Bible says, it's the truth. This is what the word says. It's right there in black and white. And you can't convince anybody of it because they're just surrounded by all this medical stuff all over the place. So that's it's just really encouraging to have it right in front of you again and again and again. I need it over and over again. I need to be reminded over and over again. So helpful.
Vanita, talking about the real good news and reading it over and over again, I can't tell you how many times I've read this book, and every time I read it, I get encouraged over and over and over again, every time. And that's awesome. I like it. This is my favorite book right here. Missy, go ahead.
You know what you just said reminded me of something. I don't know when I heard David say this. I don't know if it was a Bible study in the morning meeting or what. But he said, "You got to, even though you read it before, you need to keep reading the word because you have a tendency to forget it, or you need to be reminded. Just need to be reminded over and over and over and over and over until you don't forget it is my thought, until I don't forget it and it's written in here permanently, and it just comes out of me, it just changes me, trans renews my mind, but yeah, I mean we need to hear it over and over and over and over and over, and read it, should I say, over and over and over. That video I watched that I don't know how many times of Matthew West that I put in the chat, because it just so impressed me, and I just really thought about that and what all of God's word applies to that. And the
Maybe
very
you could,
beginning of this
maybe,
chapter made
yep.
me think of that video, and about the Lord's voice, and it's like, we need to, I need to hear it over and over again. My sheep hear my voice, that my sheep won't follow a stranger, and no one can snatch my sheep out of the Father's hand. Why? Because I follow the Lord, because I hear his voice. I don't know his voice, unless I read the word, because the words which I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life, there's just so much going, it's just like just and I can't come into the image of Jesus without the word, because everything I'm reading here is Jesus. He is the word made flesh, and I want to be the word made flesh, and I want to hear his voice better. And the only way that'll happen is if I stay in his word as much as possible. So, and I don't want to be deceived, which goes along with that video. That video, that was just, like I said, it just was like, wow. And I don't know if is there anybody? Could we maybe play that? It's a short. Maybe we could play that if maybe discuss it just a tiny bit, maybe.
I don't have it, but if you've got it, go ahead.
Julie, can you share
I have it?
Okay.
Yeah, I got it ready. Do you want to listen to Joe first and then play it, or should I just play it now?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and listen to Joe, and then you can. We'll start this next chapter next week. Or what is today? Thursday. Yeah, next week.
I just want to add on what Bessie said. It's important. The last couple of months, I made myself quite a few pages of confession. I tried diligently to read it every day. But the first, when I started that, I was reading it quite quickly. But the Lord showed me, you're just doing something for doing something. But later on, he showed me, do it with passion. What you're reading, what you're believing, it's enjoy what you're doing. Everything what you must do, must you enjoy. So now I enjoy doing my confessions, and that helped me so much with my memory and to remind me of things. But when the devil tries this, I read my confession today, and that's what the word says, and that was the word says. It's so important to let that, but it's all coming back to you have to ask your Father to do it in you. You cannot do it by yourself. If you're doing self-works, it's not going to work. It's so important for me about just doing my confessions and trust the Lord. But just one little other thing, I just remind me now of a testimony of that. I forgot about it. It's, I don't, only thing I watch on YouTube, I really do try to, it's just Bible studies on YouTube. That's all I really want. And music, of course. But quite a few, couple of weeks, I get this almost naked ladies on my phone. I just close it and I rebuke it. And I said, Lord, that's not from you. I don't accept that. I want YouTube because I want David's teachings and music to listen to. And it was a couple of weeks, and I don't get that anymore. The Lord just gave me victory. He took it all from off my cell phone. I don't know where they came from. I never watched that because I'm not interested in that anymore. I just confessed, that's not what the Lord said. Hold on to my faith. And the Lord gave me victory for it. Well, the Lord Jesus' victory is, I gave it victory through me. That's not me. Thank you, Father.
Amen, Joe. Thank you, Joe.
Can I just say one last thing? Sorry, Michael. Sure. Just say last thing. I don't mind anybody if I'm speaking and I'm speaking too quickly. I don't mind anybody. I haven't got no more flesh. You can tell me if I'm speaking too quickly to listen to. So don't worry about killing my flesh. He's already been dead. So just tell me if I'm speaking too quickly. Of course, I'm usually speaking quite quickly in Afrikaans, but just tell me. Thank you. Anybody can tell me, so I don't mind about that.
Understood every word of it. You sound like an old Arkansas boy.
Oh, no.
Okay. No, you sounded good, Joe. Go ahead, Julie.
No, you sounded good. I understood everything too. And yeah. I think there's days I have trouble hearing anybody. So, but yeah, thank you. Well, if your flesh is dead, then we'll just help crucify it, right? If it's not. Okay. So I'm going to play that little video short here. It's really good here.
But one day they took the dads and the daughters deep into the woods and we were going to do this exercise and they blindfolded the daughters. And then they told the dads, all right, you're going to go and guide your daughter blindfolded through the woods. They said, now you're going to give your daughter three instructions and repeat them as many times as you can before the walk begins. And the instructions were, I will never leave you. You can ask me anything, and you should only listen for the sound of my voice. And I would make her repeat those back to me. And I said, are we good? She said, I'm good. And then we were instructed to begin our hike through the woods. And it was easy to guide her in the beginning because I could have a hand on her shoulder and we could walk and talk with each other. And I'd say, okay, there's a rock coming up. Turn to your right, this kind of thing. And then with a silent signal from a camp counselor, they would tell me I had to remove my hand. And I could only guide her with the sound of my voice. And it got a little more challenging to navigate the path. Then with another silent signal from the camp counselor, I could no longer speak unless she remembered the instructions that she could ask me anything. So as you can imagine, we started to get off track in our hike. It's becoming more and more challenging. Counselor comes up as like a voice of deception. And my daughter's feeling lost and wondering where I am because she's not hearing my voice and she's not remembering to ask me any questions. Counselor comes up and says, hey, Lulu, it looks like you've gotten separated from your dad in the group. And she said, yeah, I'm not sure where he is. And she said, well, how about you follow me and I'll get you caught up with the group. And of course, as a dad, I'm overanalyzing my entire job as a parent, praying that she says, no, I'm only supposed to follow my dad. And all of a sudden I heard, okay. She follows the camp counselor. Well, what does the counselor do? Doesn't catch her up with the group. The counselor walks her into a ditch and she doesn't realize it, but she's blindfolded in a ditch standing in front of a tree. And I'm standing there helpless, waiting and hoping that she remembers the instructions. After several minutes, I'm just standing there. The counselor comes over to Lulu and says, hey, Lulu, I don't think you're where you're supposed to be. Do you? She said, no. The voices had all quieted. The group had gone away. And she said, well, do you remember the instructions that you were given? She's like, I think so. And she thought for a couple minutes and I'm standing there waiting. And all of a sudden I hear four words, Dad, are you there? And I stood there in the woods just crying. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here. Yeah. And she said, can you help me? And I said, yeah. And we got back on track and we walked back and we had this incredible moment. Wow. I thought about those three instructions and how many times I've forgotten him in my life, that he will never leave me. I can ask him anything and I should only listen to the sound of his voice. Coming back to those three principles and remembering that I have a God who's always with me, that he loves to hear the sound of his children's voice, and that he is the only source of strength and guidance in my life that I should really trust. But one day,
what a wonderful, wonderful short video. Man, you ought to put that on the blog, Missy. Really? Yeah, put it on the blog and put it in the chat and all of the other things that you got. That's really good. That's really good. Yeah. Sometimes we listen to YouTube even. You know what I'm saying? We got to quit that. Wow, that was awesome, Vanita. It was really awesome. I loved it. I loved it. Anybody got any comments about that little video? How many of you got off track?
It was a good listen. Not in a ditch so much, but definitely not where I'm hearing the voice of the Lord. And the Lord's teaching me to do that. But I just thought that was such a great lesson. And there was a, I don't know if you guys watched that movie or not. It made me think of the movie Overcomer. And in a sense, it was similar to that, where she had been, you know, if you didn't watch any of it, she was a runner, and she was listening to her dad's voice, who wasn't there, who was blind. He was blind, but he was encouraging her how to and how to run. And he was listening. She was listening to his voice in her ears, in literally like earbuds, and a recorded message about the very race course that she was on, because they had walked through it and he had been instructed, you know, what was coming up. So he'd be telling now that you're coming up to this, you're coming up to that, and you're going to really push it now and take this girl out in front of you, you know, like over, pass her up, you know, give her all you got. You know, it was just one of those things that the Lord used for me, just, you know, to keep listening to him, that he sees the future, he sees what's coming up. And it was just, we really do need to know, and keep, that's why we got to keep our mind in the Word, you know, so we know his voice. Yeah.
That was an awesome testimony. Thank you, Missy. Thank you, Julie, for insisting we play it. I've never seen it. I've never seen it. That's good. All right, has anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about? What we're talking about here. This next, what's the next chapter? Let's see. Forgiveness. Oh, that's a good one too. That's a good one too. All of them are good. How many of you getting something back out of it? I bet I've read that thing 4 or 5 times. And I still get a lot out of it every time. Actually, don't you think that more than just getting more out of it, it puts you back on track, doesn't it? It puts you right back on track where you ought to be in your faith and lets you know that, hey, don't veer from it. Listen for God. Yeah, encourage. It does. It encourages me. It encourages. When I read it by myself, I read it out loud. Do y'all? Yeah, I read it out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful book. We praise you, and we thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us are getting are storing up more faith in our walk with you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time here coming up. Thank you, Jesus. I think I mentioned this a few times before that we got to be ready for this new revival that's fixing to come up. And we're going to be the catalyst for the revival going across the world. It's going to be awesome, and we have to be ready. Ready, 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 ready. How do we get ready? Having faith and understanding what faith is and what the word says. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to say, Michael, how are we supposed to get ready? What are we supposed to do? I mean, we're just thinking the same.
Yeah, Missy.
Well, I look at it, if I give him the faith, he'll give me the grace.
Yeah, who if you if we stay connected to him. Just like the little girl, she kind of let the counselor come in there and tell her what to do and all this kind of stuff. And she got off track and got stuck in the ditch instead of listening to her dad. We got to listen to our dad and keep him. Yeah. Where'd she go? Go ahead, Missy.
I pressed the wrong thing down at the bottom.
I knew you did.
Now I lost my train of thought.
No, you
Lord,
didn't.
just temporarily. Had a bleep there and then I forgot it. Come back.
Okay, go ahead, Vanita.
Oh shoot. Just oh yeah, okay. I
Devil,
was
get
just
out of here in the name of Jesus.
I was just gonna my father-in-law, he goes to the Baptist church up in Davison, and he doesn't agree with a lot of what we are learning here, but he did. He's been having he got a new doctor, and he's been having a lot of pain in his leg, and the doctor wanted him to go to the vascular doctor to see what they could do, and she was convinced they could do something, and so they were supposed to call him, and well, they didn't call, and so he just let it go. He said, I'm not going to call them. If they don't call me, then Lord doesn't want him to call me. You know, that's the way it is. Well, then they finally called him. He got an appointment, got it all set up. It was supposed to be last Wednesday. And then on Tuesday, he called him up and he told me, he said, I canceled the appointment. It just didn't feel right. I know you're going to think I'm weird, but I just felt led. The spirit was leading me that it just wasn't the right thing. And so I just is praise the Lord, you know. I'm like, Dad, that's not crazy. I totally agree with you 100%. And he was just so happy to have somebody not think he was crazy and that agreed with him that he didn't need to go to the doctor, that he just needed to Just listen to his shepherd and listen to that voice. And that's what he did. So praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord that he is healed. He is doing so much better already. He's lost a bunch of weight and his blood pressure has been really good lately and all this stuff. And I mean, he's just doing great. So praise the Lord for his leg and he can just walk straight and amen. He's healed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your glory upon him. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to give you the glory and the praise for his healing in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for fulfilling what he's believing for in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, Joe, go ahead.
It just reminds me of remind myself now again. I studying the Psalm 119 by book with David all 5 videos he did was in what the Lord says about that book. It's about endurance. It's the same, the chapter here of good news is also about endurance. Endurance is for every reason, everything you want to ask, whatever, to go through trials, all the answers is in the Word. Always going back to the Word, refer to the Word, and that's all come from patience, as the Lord told me. It's just awesome to remind myself that the Lord has to remind me. That's just going back to the Word. If you go through a trial, just ask the Lord, go back to the Word. Doesn't have to feel right, doesn't go about feelings, accept the Word, read the Word, and have peace that only the Lord Jesus can give us. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Well, I thought it was an exceptional night tonight, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that every one of us and the people that's going to be listening to the outreach later on, I thank you, Father, for placing it in their hearts to believe you for their healing. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Has anybody got anything to say before we? All right, y'all be blessed, you hear?